Now, his recording career has spanned over 35 years. It's still going strong. This year he performed for the Pope, and he's currently in the middle of an American residency in Branson, Missouri. I caught up with Daniel O'Donnell.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way, a girl to hold in my arms.
Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Stephen. How's it going?
It's going all right. But when I saw that you're doing this and you're doing all of these gigs at Christmas time, I thought to myself, that's the man who told the Daily Mirror he was going to slow down.
Well, I'm working on slowing down, but you know the way the papers doesn't always get things right.
There's no slowing you down, is there?
I have slowed down a wee bit, Stephen, from years ago. But, you know, we're still doing a lot of shows. But this year, about maybe between 70 and 80 live concerts, so it's still a fair bit.
Why?
Well, because I enjoy it. I really do. I love the singing, and, you know, that's really the reason why I do it, just the enjoyment.
And does it not, Daniel, honestly, though, get to a stage where when you're performing, you don't get the same buzz that maybe you got 10, 20 years ago? In other words, there's nothing new about it now.
Not at all. Do you know what? It doesn't really matter to me where I sing. I could get up in a pub and sing with somebody on a guitar, and I would enjoy it as much as if I was in the waterfront of the Royal Albert Hall or anywhere. Do you know, I just love the singing. And, you know, when you have people singing along with you and enjoying it, there's nothing to compare with it, really.
And I'm minded to say, when did you get this bug? Was it as a little boy? Can you remember the first time you sang and you had that feeling?
I can remember one night in Dunloe, in the hotel in Dunloe. It was called the Austin, the Ross, and now it's called the Waterfront now, by the way. Just coincidentally, same name as the theatre there in Belfast. But I remember getting up to sing with a band called La Scala, the Murrays. They were a family band that played in the hotel every weekend. And I remember going up, it probably was about maybe 15 at the time, or maybe 16, and I was singing. They used to get people up to sing, during the night. And I can remember singing and people dancing around and them singing along, and I was singing. I was thinking how happy I was, and they seemed happy singing along and dancing. And I thought to myself, wouldn't this be a marvellous way to spend your life? Now, I always sang before that from when I was young, you know, into the wee small child, really, in the choir and all that kind of thing. But I do remember that particular night. And then once I got on the road, you know, you just enjoy it so much. And we're here now in Branson doing Christmas shows.
Where is Branson, Daniel?
It's in the Midwest of America. It's about, I think it's 3 or 4 hours south of St. Louis.
Okay.
And a couple of hours north of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Wow. And is it nice?
Oh, it's lovely. It's a very very much a country place, you know. When I say country, I'm not saying music, I'm saying the area. It's a kind of a hilly, lot of trees, very, very nice place, a lot of lakes, that kind of, terrain here.
I'm going to New Orleans for the first time this year.
Oh, I've never been to New Orleans.
Have you not?
It's great. No, it's great.
Going for
a lot of people, actually, from Louisiana coming to Branson. They come to Branson from all over America and Canada. Indeed, further afield, there's a group here. There was a group from Joe Walsh Tours was out that did a couple of our shows. And there's another group here, some from Ireland and the UK. They're here for the week. They're doing another few shows.
And that's a pretty intense schedule for you, right? 5 days a week?
Well, we do 5 shows a week here. And Nathan Carter did his first show ever in Branson last night. He's here for another 4 shows, and I got in just at the end to see him. I had something on last night, but we're hoping to go to see him tonight. So it's a great place if you can get your foot in the door, and get your name out there, because they come on buses from everywhere. So we hope Nathan will do well here too.
What's the downside of being on the road? The downside of the business you're in. So I get the upside. I get it, and that it's what you do and it's what gives you your buzz.
Well, I don't really have anything to say about a Down set. I suppose the only thing that you're away from home a bit. But then I look at it the other way. You know, I could be home, you know, for 6 weeks uninterrupted, you know. So when you count it all up, I know you're away maybe. I'm away this time for 6 weeks, which is a long time.
And will you miss Magella?
Generally. Well, we do. I mean, you do, of course, miss everybody at home. But we're on the Skype, or the, you know, you can phone now on the Skype. And, you know, Magella and I, you know, we had a cruise just before we left. And she would normally come out here with me, but she decided to stay home because we've been away a good bit this year, and she just wanted to stay home and get the house ready for Christmas. The two grandchildren are coming, you know. And you miss them too, but I get them on the video too.
Are you a man that does up the whole house? There's a Christmas trees and decorations out the whole
Christmas.
House?
I love Christmas, Stephen. I do say to them, I said to them on to Mrs., if I die at Christmas, don't dig down any trees, put up another one.
I want to play a little clip here of, I think this is you singing to a passenger on a flight, thousands of feet in the sky. Let's have a listen.
We have a very special lady on board, Miss Annie Lawson, celebrating a milestone birthday, and we have a very special surprise for her now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
There aren't too many stars, Daniel, would be doing that.
Well, you know, she was on the flight, and the girls in the Aer Lingus had asked if I would sing her. She was celebrating her 70th birthday, I think. And she was actually from Donegal, but she was living in Dublin for years. Lovely lady. And we were going out to do the road trip, you know, in America that day as well, and there was cameras there with us. So just coincidentally, they were filming, you know, at the same time. And they moved her then, saying that they were going to film. They needed somebody sitting in a particular seat, but they wanted her to be sitting in front of where the wee phone was, you know, that they talked through, so that I could go down and sing. So she was mortified and delighted at the same time.
You say she's 70, and I know you're not. But does older age scare you? Does it? Do you worry about older age?
Oh, I don't, to tell you the truth. I do say I wouldn't want yesterday back. I just love the day that I'm in, and I just think if you can get, I don't worry about getting old. As long as I'm well, please God, that I'll be well enough for long enough. And I do think my mother was in great form up until, you know, she was, lived to be nearly 95, and up until maybe about the year before or less than the year before, she was in very good health. And even up to her death, mind-wise, she was very good. So I think if I can get that kind of health, it would be great to live and be able to say that you're 70 or 80 or 90 or whatever age you are.
Do you miss your mum?
Do you know, you always miss her, but you have to be very mindful of the great long life she had and how long we had her. You know, if we had her for another 50 years, it still wouldn't be long enough. But, you know, she was such a big part of all our lives. And she was a very strong character, my mother, I suppose. My father died very young, so she was on her own for such a long time. So she was a very strong woman. But, of course, you miss her, but you always have to be grateful. And, you know, there's lots of people that lose parents, you know, young. Well, my father died when I was 6, so that was the other side of the coin. But, you know, there's people that lose their mother when they're young, and, you know, they have to somehow get on and try to live without them. So we were very lucky.
Do you ever wonder, Daniel, what it would have been like then to have a father figure in your life for a lot more of your life?
I suppose, you know, an odd time when I was at school and you'd go to visit other fellas' houses and their father would be there, you'd be thinking, you know, what would that be like? But, you know, you get used to whatever your life is, you get used to the normal, you know, in your life, that's your life and that's the way it is.
But would you have been aware in school, you know, most people would have had mum and dad and you had mum. Would you have been conscious about that? Would you have thought about it?
Yeah, most people would, I suppose, would have had both parents. Now, there was one family at least, both their parents had died. One girl who was at school with us, and there was a few that their father had died too. So it wasn't very uncommon, you know, that some of them would have just their mother, but the majority, I suppose, did have a father. But you know, you don't dwell on it very much, I have to say.
You sang for the Pope earlier this year. What was that like as an experience?
Oh, it was a lovely experience. I mean, I never thought that I would get to do that. I remember going to Galway when Pope John Paul II was here, and it was such a great event. And I mean, it's a great privilege. And
were you nervous?
I was a bit nervous, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed it very much. And then I sang the next day, and before the Mass, and in the Phoenix Park. And you know, even though the Pope wasn't there at that time, I think I enjoyed that better, because I was singing religious. I was singing hymns in the Phoenix Park. I probably wouldn't have chosen the song that was given to me for Croke Park, although it's a fine song. And in another situation, I would have preferred to sing something inspirational.
Yeah.
But they had put together a show and sort of dictated what everybody sang. But no, it was a great privilege and it was a great atmosphere.
And is faith deep in your heart? Is it important to you?
Well, I do. I mean, I like to go to Mass. It's something that is good for me, and I feel that it's an anchor in my life, you know, and it gives me something that nothing else gives me, and I imagine that's coming from, you know, my youth and my upbringing.
Yeah.
But I decided myself. I remember when I started to travel first, I remember starting to look for Masses, and it was only in the Sunday morning then. There was no Saturday evening Mass. And I think I realised then that it was something that I needed to have in my life.
See, I'm desperate to find something like that. I'm desperate to find God. I can't, and I think part of the reason for me, and I just wonder how you then reconcile this in your own head. Part of the reason for me is that when I see kind of the brutality that the human beings are able to bestow on each other, when you see tragedies, when you see these mass shootings, when you see children in poverty and dying, you know, I just can't understand how that is anything but a random world where there couldn't be a God controlling that.
Well, I suppose, Stephen, it's very easy, you know, to look at things in that way, and rightly so. I mean, all of us, when things happen and you see things happening, you think to yourself, where is God at this time? But for me, I suppose, if I have a bad time, I would pray, and it gives me something. Now, I can't tell you that you're wrong and I'm right, or I'm right and you know what I mean. There's no way for us to know. But
have you ever felt God in your life? Have you ever felt that you've prayed and there's been an outcome, or you've spoken to God and something's happened where it?
I do think, you know, when you're closest and praying, you know, I feel more secure. That's all I can tell you. Now, whether that's because I know I'm doing it or what, but I just feel more secure. But I will tell you, Stephen, that, you know, the majority of people are good people. You know, and even though...
Do you believe that, Daniel?
You're desperate to find, you know, if you're not doing any harm to anybody and you're living a good life, you know, there's a lot of people that are in a religion. You know, I do say there's no point in being a Catholic if you're not a Christian.
Yeah.
or there's no point in being a Protestant if you're not Christian. You know, you can live it to the book, and yet you won't have compassion. There's a lot of that. So you have, you know, there's a lot of people that live really good lives, and for whatever reason, they don't follow a religion, but they could be living a very Christian life. And if you look at it, the closest we'll ever get to God, if there is a God, which I genuinely hope there is, the closest we'll get to God is how we relate to one another.
Have you ever had to try to consciously keep your feet on the ground? So I was reading a wee brief on you, and here's how successful you are in this material world. The Sunday Times Rich List puts you on €31 million.
I know, isn't that great? It was 36 one year.
Was
there.
It?
And I said, I think I'll write to them and say, if they can find the first 35, I'll give them the 36th.
So is that rubbish then?
Well, it's certain. And do you know this? It disappointed me because I remember seeing about different people that had a lot of money, and I was thinking, isn't that just fantastic?
Yeah.
You know? And then when I seen about myself, I started to feel sorry for the ones that I read about, because I thought, oh, sure, maybe they haven't that money at all.
But is it nice to people that, what I'm trying to ask is, do material things matter to you?
You know, somebody asked me one time, if the house was on fire, what would I want to take with me? I would walk out without a thing. I don't really have an attachment to material things. Now, that doesn't mean that I love... You know, we have a lovely house and we got renovated there recently and it's lovely. And, you know, I'm lucky that, you know, I enjoy anything that I want to do, pretty much I can do it. But I enjoy being at home. I enjoy going out to play cards. We play whist on a Tuesday night. I started playing bridge.
Do you?
I love just being at home and doing these kind of things.
Hope you don't play for money. I hope you're not a big gambler.
I did. I won €15 the last night I was home.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I have to ask you this because of the day it's in it, the day we're doing this interview. Are you watching the Brexit political situation unfold in front of us? Are you a Brexiteer? Are you a Mainer? Or do you not want to tell me?
I looked up. I was looking this morning and I seen about, you know, the thing going through the Parliament today. You know, I suppose I would have been disappointed, honestly, you know, that Brexit was passed. I didn't even think it was going to happen because, you know, no matter what we want to believe, you know, Ireland and the United Kingdom were very much reliant, you know, on one another. They're our closest neighbour, and they're between us and Europe, as far as Ireland is concerned. So I would have loved Brexit not to have happened. And, you know, I suppose the thing about it is now, I don't know that the people who wanted Brexit to happen or were staying that wanted it to happen, this is what I believe. I don't think anybody believed that vote would go through.
Yeah. Would you be a supporter then of the people being given a second referendum, another vote?
If it was genuine now that they didn't want it to go through, if the majority didn't want it to go through, if the majority felt they made the wrong decision, you know. I mean, there was things that was put out. And I think the biggest thing that when I speak to people, you know, and I don't speak to many because it's you know, it shouldn't have anything really to do with somebody like me. The one thing that I read was about, I can't remember the figure, was going to go to the NHS.
It was £350 million a week was plastered on the side of a bus.
You know, this could go. People did not see could. They imagined this was going to go. And the morning after, is it Nigel Farage, was on the BBC, and he immediately said, you know, oh no, this is not going to go. This is one of the areas it could go to. And I suppose things like that, you know, it takes very little to sway a vote from people who are not sure of what's going on, you know. But anyway, listen, I don't really know
No, I get
what
it.
People want. I don't know what people want. But if they felt that another vote would be good for people, then it shouldn't affect people south of the border. But it's going to affect us. It's going to affect
us. In what way, do you think? Are you worried?
I think it'll affect us very much in an economic way. It has to.
Why do you say that?
Because there's such a trade thing with the UK and Ireland, and there's such movement between the two countries. Well, and I know very little about economics, but it's just how I see it. And you know, I would hate to think that every time we go to England, you have that, you have a whole big who have passports and just all them little things too.
There have been some people saying, for example, the likes of the DUP have been saying that this jeopardises Northern Ireland's place in the United Kingdom, the integrity of the UK. Some people wondering if this is the, if this is a step closer. The deputy editor of the newsletter was saying to me on the radio yesterday that, this is one step closer to United Ireland.
Well, you have to take everybody's feelings and everybody's views into consideration when you talk about things like that.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we must be absolute about is that it never goes back to the Troubles because of something like Brexit. It would be a pure tragedy. And any right-minded person would agree with me on that. It doesn't matter whether you feel you're Northern Irish, Irish, or British.
I think there's some people saying we couldn't go back to those days.
Well, absolutely. And that's one thing that we would never, ever want. And I don't believe we will. It should be always in peace from now on.
Listen, you're coming to the waterfront on the 18th of December.
We're coming to do... we're doing a show called Christmas and More, where we do... the first part of the show is regular songs, and then in the second part of the show, we do a number of, Christmas songs and Christmas carols.
I'm going to come and bring my mum. I will be one of the fans in the audience with big Audrey, my mother, sitting beside me.
Good on Audrey. I still think on last year when you put her out for that dinner and she got the bad steak. The poor woman, and you filmed the whole lot.
God help me, Daniel. I'm taking her to Portugal on Christmas Eve this year. Her and I are going to spend a few days together in Portugal.
You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it and cherish it. She's a great lady and you seem to have a great connection.
I love her very, very much. Listen,
we are looking forward to the waterfront, and we're also going to be, in August, we're going to be in the Tully Glass. I haven't been in Tully Glass and Ballymena for, God, I would say since the early 90s, and we're going to do a concert there in Tully Glass. We're also going to be in the Millennium Forum and Derry and the day after Belfast.
That's right, Wednesday the 19th of December Millennium Forum. So you've got Friday the 14th, you're in Killarney. Saturday the 15th, you're in Castle Bar. Tuesday the 18th, you're in the waterfront. Wednesday the 19th, you're in the Millennium Forum. See, if I wave at you from the crowd, you don't wave back, I'm falling out with you.
I'll wave anyway, just in case you're there.
Listen, good luck, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for spending time with us.
And hello to everybody listening. Hope all is well. God bless.
Bye-bye. Dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone. So that's our Daniel O'Donnell. Thanks very much indeed for listening today. We can continue the conversation in lots of different ways. Our Twitter club is now bigger than some of the shows on BBC and ITV. Our Twitter club is 212,000 of you communicating with each other and with me. That's at Stephen Nolan. You can Snapchat us this morning and pass your views and your picks on that way, wherever you're listening to the biggest show in the country. That's, I can never remember what it is. Radio Nolan. If I can't remember, how can you? Radio Nolan on Snapchat. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Bye-bye.